you for joining us for live paranormal radio. From the paranormal to the unexplained, it all happens here.
It all happens here.
Looking to enhance your radio experience? Participate in our live video chat 24/7 with our live paranormal radio show host and other like-minded people. Live. Paranormal.com, the only interactive social chat room supported by Full Interaction Media. Stop by now and join the fun.
Stop by now and join the fun.
Hi, this is Dana Workman from Haunted Highway on Sci-Fi, and you're listening to the Ghost Host, Sophia Temporelli, on LiveParanormal.com. Boom.
Hey, everybody, this is Rex Williams, the medic from Destination Truth, and you're listening to the Ghost Host, Sophia, on LiveParanormal.com.
This is True TV's haunting evidence investigator, Patrick Burns.
And ghost huntress author, Marley Gibson.
And you're listening to Ghost Host, Sophia Temporelli.
This is Stefan Brigati from Pacific Coast Paranormal, and you're listening to the Ghost Host, Sophia Temporelli, on LiveParanormal.com. She rocks.
And Michael Perry.
And we're here. Hello, we're here at the Ghost Host with Sophia Temporelli and weekly at liveparanormal.com.
This is Bill Murphy of Sci-Fi Channel's Fact or Fake Paranormal Files, and you're listening to the Ghost Host, Sophia Temporelli, on liveparanormal.com.
Hi, this is Professor Lloyd Auerbach, parapsychologist, and you're listening to The Ghost Host with Sophia Temporelli on LiveParanormal.com.
This is author Alexandra Holzer, and you're listening to Ghost Host Sophia Temporelli.
Hi, this is Jeff Belanger, host of 30 Odd Minutes, founder of GhostVillage.com, and author of lots of your favorite paranormal books, and you're listening to the Ghost Host, Sophia, on LiveParanormal.com. Boo!
This is Nick Roth, executive producer of Ghost Adventures, the original documentary in Ghost Adventures, season 1 through 10, and executive producer of Ghost Stalkers, author of Chasing Spirits, the building of the Ghost Adventures crew, and founder of NickRoffTours.com. You are listening to the Ghost Host, Sophia Temporelli, on LiveParanormal.com. Tune in.
Hey, this is Zach Bagans from Ghost Adventures, and you are listening to the Ghost Host, Sophia Temporelli, on LiveParanormal.com.
She's grown up as the Ghost Host, Sophia Temporelli, celebrating 8 years of broadcasting on LiveParanormal.com. Congratulations, Sophia.
That's right. It's the Ghost Host Show with Sophia Temporelli on LiveParanormal.com. Congratulations, Sophia. Over 8 years of broadcasting here on LiveParanormal.com and History FM. Thank you, Rob Sarek, the site founder, for providing this format each and every week. And Happy New Year, everyone. First show back from the holiday break. And so welcome back. I hope you enjoyed the archive shows. Feel free to call into the show. There's a new call-in number. The other one had some weather issues back east and everything. So jot this down if you want to call into the show live, 347-202-0316. That's 347-202-0316. Thank you, too, to all of our moderators throughout the years for patching us through at live events when we had no internet feed. Thank you guys so much. Today, we welcome Fox Valley Ghost Hunters, researchers Travis and Melissa Clevenger. Everyone visit fvghosthunters.com. That's fvghosthunters.com. And YouTube search as well, Fox Valley Ghost Hunters, for their evidential captures. Upcoming, we have the Heritage Hunters Society founder, Michael Lachiana. He's returning to the show on the 18th, so next weekend. Award-winning Let's Talk Paranormal show host Tracy Austin will be on the program on the 25th. Squatch Files research team founder and author John Cooey Kendall returns to the program on February 15th. So you don't want to miss any of these upcoming broadcasts. We have other guests. They're securing their guest spot dates, too. So, like the ghost host, Sophia Temporelli, on liveparanormal.com Facebook fan page to learn of the guests as we learn of them real time. And also, too, like liveparanormal.com Facebook group page. A lot of great new paranormal investigative team member panel roundups on the weekends. A lot of new great broadcasters added to the venue this year. So, also, like the memberships page two, the memberships, they start as low as $2.99 a month here on Live Paranormal. And Rob Sarek, the site founder, he's great at rewarding you guys. So a lot of autographed books by some of your favorite paranormal author giveaways. Again, it's for the membership packages. And also support the vendors here on LiveParanormal.com. Tonight on Live Paranormal, starting at 7 p.m. Eastern, Beyond the Screen and Ghost Light Radio. As well, Chip Coffee of A&E's Paranormal State and Psychic Kids, and also two Kindred Spirits Now. So welcome to the team there, Chip. He's on here monthly Monday nights on liveparanormal.com, as well as Ben Hansen, Amy Goodwin, David M. Roundtree, Stefan Brigati, Andy and Michelle Kopic, King Gearhart, and many more on this very network. If you miss anything, archive shows, they're offered as free MP4 iTunes downloads on the homepage of LiveParanormal.com. And let's see here. Let's check in with our host. Boy, we have a lot of callers, so we're going to be taking those in a little bit too as well. And Sophia, congratulations. 8 years of broadcasting. Congratulations.
Thank you. I can't believe it's already been 8 years.
I know. You're doing a fantastic job. Did you enjoy the holidays? How was it for you?
It was great. Yeah, I got a lot of really cool gifts, so that was exciting, and it's always good to see the family.
You had a lot of video game action going on in there. It sounded like a war room in there. So what game were you playing?
You say that every time I play anything. I could be playing Minecraft, and you say it's a war thing. I was playing Sherlock Holmes.
You've got a sound system in there that now that's just – it blew away your other sound system, so it does sound
Yeah,
like
the other one was pretty bad.
Well, tell us about our guest today, Sophia.
Today, we welcome Fox Valley Ghost Hunters researchers Travis and Melissa Clevenger. Everyone visit fvghosthunters.com, YouTube Fox Valley Ghost Hunters. Let's welcome them into the show.
Okay, I'm trying to unmute everybody right now. It's a little slow in the login process here. We got them both in the studio. Hey, guys, welcome to the show.
Hey, guys, thanks for having us. Really appreciate it.
Hey. Yeah, thank you so much for coming on today. To start off, can you tell us a little bit about Fox Valley Ghost Hunters and what are each of your individual roles within the team?
So Fox Valley Ghost Hunters was started 10 years ago by our founder, Craig Nearing. He basically started it kind of with close family, mm-hmm. and we've expanded from there. I joined Fox Valley Ghost Hunters about a year ago now, and I am the lead investigator, and Travis, my husband, he joined a few months after that, and he is the second lead investigator for the team.
Well, that's great. It sounds like such a great team, and I know that with Fox Valley Ghost Hunters, you've gone on so many awesome locations. Can you tell us what type of places you investigate, and do you do residential with the team?
Yes, we. I'm actually the lead on home investigations for, you know, paranormal activity in people's houses and stuff. So that's pretty much my main focus, other than, you know, going on team trips and checking out cool locations and finding out, you know, all the, you know, what's going on with the paranormal and the truths and debunking whatever I can.
Mm-hmm.
So.
Well, it's great, you know, being able to debunk stuff too on investigations. I think that's like one of the most important things is being able to separate what's real in the paranormal from what's fake. How do you go about, you know, trying to figure out what is actually paranormal and what could be easily debunked?
Well, basically what you do is if you hear like if you're asking like EVP, if you're running an EVP session and you ask for a loud noise and it comes on demand or on command, you would basically go to where that noise was and see if there was anything possible that could have possibly made that noise and, you know, move things, push things, you know, tap on something, see if you can get that same noise to, you know, recreate itself. And if you can't, then, you know, you kind of got to chalk it up to something other than real.
Definitely. And I know that you've also investigated the Deadly Intentions episode house as featured on the Dead Files in Franken, Wisconsin, in November 2018. Can you tell us a little bit about the location and what you captured there?
So, unfortunately, Travis and I were not part of the team at that point, but our team did investigate that location. I know they did find some good stuff. I am actually in the process right now of co-authoring a new book, Archives of a Ghost Hunter, Volume 2, and we are writing about the Dead Files house on that, in that book.
Well, that's great, you know, that you are still following up with the location through your book, even though you weren't on the actual investigation and team at the time. What has it been like, you know, having these past investigations that you're able to learn from when you join the team?
We've done some amazing locations. A big part, what I love too, is learning the history and learning the stories. And I mean, we've done Summerwind, which is up north, which is in the top 10 of most haunted locations in the United States. And our team's the only team that has access to that. And we're doing right now the Sheboygan Insane Asylum. And that's another one that just our team is able to do. And just kind of learning the history and all the experiences we've been having. I've really grown as an investigator in this past year.
And I know that you also had some experiences as a child. What was that like for you, you know, kind of going from having experiences as a child to, you know, investigating as an adult?
So as far as with me, my entire life I've had experiences everywhere I've lived. It's kind of follows me. Growing up, I always seen ghosts or spirits, and I could hear them, and they would communicate with me throughout my entire life. And probably right around like high school time, I didn't really see them anymore. So being able to be an investigator now, it's kind of reassuring to know, you know, our loved ones are still around, and it's just my way of still knowing it, and I can still try to help people.
Definitely. Would you say that you're a sensitive, or do you feel you lean more towards being having a psychic ability?
I always did have more kind of a psychic ability, as I was always, you know, told information, and I, unfortunately, a lot of times I would know before somebody would pass, and I was told to give messages. And this past year, it hasn't been as strong. So I think that's why I'm so big on the investigating now, is I can still do something with it. But yeah, I used to actually see them, and I could hear them. And we have the typical stuff like at our house, like, you know, doors opening and cupboards opening and voices and sounds. And it's just part of my life, part of who I am.
Yeah, definitely. I saw ghosts in the house I lived in when I was younger. So it's definitely quite an experience to have when you're so young, being able to, you know, see a spirit, because it's not something most people can relate to. So it's just something you kind of have to deal with and figure out how to go from there in your life, whether it's investigating or, you know, just figuring out what that means for your future.
Exactly. Yes, definitely.
Travis, what initially started you in the paranormal?
Well, it's basically, you know, the unknown. I've always been intrigued by the unknown. Growing up, I was really, you know, the biggest skeptic you'll ever meet. Noises would happen, and it's like, oh, that was that, you know, or that didn't really happen, or, you know, downplay everything. But certain things that have happened, you know, about 4 or 5 years ago, it really opened my eyes to what is actually out there. One experience which really opened my eyes was one night we came home from a baseball game, and mm-hmm. went to bed. And 4 o'clock in the morning, Melissa's getting up to go get ready for work. And she says, you need to come out here. I'm like, well, why? And she's like, you need to see this. And every single kitchen cupboard door and drawer in the kitchen was open, you know, as open as it could get. And
oh, wow.
That's just one of those things that you can't, you can't chalk that up for, you know, a breeze blowing through or, you know, cats mm-hmm. or animals climbing on the cupboards and stuff. I mean, that kind of really opens your eyes to, you know, there's something other than, you know, there's something else out there.
Did you ever figure out what spirit was actually doing that in your house?
At the time, we really didn't investigate too much. They say you're not supposed to investigate mm-hmm. your own house anyway. But it would have been interesting to find out what spirit was here. We do live behind a cemetery mausoleum, and that's in our backyard. Mm-hmm. And I did kind of drive by there when we came back from the baseball game saying, hey, neighbors, thanks for being quiet and everything, you know. And, you know, you guys are great neighbors. And just jokingly, you know, and well, next thing you know, every kitchen, you know, drawer and cupboard was open. So I guess I won't talk to the neighbors anymore.
That's amazing that that happened right before all the cupboards opened. So, you know, maybe they did hear you while you were in the car and just decided, hey, you know, you say we're quiet. Let's show you what we can really do.
Hey, let's let you know that we're actually here. So, yeah, it was an eye-opener for sure.
Yeah, I can imagine, you know, just seeing that 4 in the morning would be crazy to experience. But
yeah.
Since you're both a couple and investigate, do you feel that that helps you on investigation and gives you, you know, an advantage because you have that trust already built?
When we do investigations together, we actually work together really good, kind of play off of each other in questions. And I guess because we have that bond, so we just the communicating is really good. And
yeah. I mean, communication is really important, you know, when investigating, especially as a couple or with a team, because a lot of times, you know, when you see something, being able to validate it with someone is really important, and being able to communicate what you saw and if someone else saw it and see if that matches up is, you know, such a key part of, you know, being cohesive within the paranormal.
Yeah, absolutely. It's kind of fun, too, when we go over, you know, our audio later. And we can just kind of listen to it together, and it's like, oh, we did capture that. And it's just, you know, an extra part that we get above the investigations is that time together, just going over evidence is important too.
For sure. And I know going over evidence takes, you know, such a long time.
Yes, it does.
How do you balance family life, you know, working as paranormal investigators, normal day-to-day life? How do you balance all of that?
The summer gets a little hard, so we actually have mm-hmm. an 18-year-old, which she takes care of herself, but we also have a 6-year-old and a 4-year-old, so in the summer we were gone almost every weekend, so it does get a little tricky. That's the nice part where we are investigating together as husband and wife, is we still get the time together, but we have to make sure, you know, that we have the time for our kids too, so we try to spend time with them on other days, but they're probably not good, but they're really interested in what we do too, so.
Yeah, we actually kept that, we run, oh, sorry, go ahead, Sophia, sorry.
Oh, no, go ahead.
No, we actually run tours. We like to bring the public in to experience, you know, paranormal investigating mm-hmm. and, you know, the history of places and stuff, and we actually gained access to a Sheboygan County Comprehensive Hospital, which is south of us where we live, and no other investigation team was allowed in there. And so we bring the public in to, you know, have them experience, you know, investigating with a paranormal investigation team, and to see, you know, everybody sees it on TV and they're intrigued on how it works. So we give them an opportunity to experience that firsthand. So there was one weekend we decided, well, let's just bring our two boys down there. And it was mm-hmm. funny. We gave each of them a flashlight, and they were walking around, and they were holding a voice recorder and walking, checking around the hallways and stuff. And I said to my six-year-old, I was like, Caleb, ask if anybody's here. And he looks at me and he shakes his head no real vigorously, like, no, I ain't going to do that. And I was like, just do it. I was like, and he did it. And he said, and I told him, I said, ask them to make a noise so they can let you know that they're here. And he did, and mm-hmm. right on cue, bang, you know, a knock on the door or something. I was like, wow, that was pretty cool. So yeah, he got to experience that firsthand. So.
Well, that's great. You know, it kind of becomes a family affair too, and that your kids have an interest in it. Is what aspects of the paranormal would you like to pass down to them?
Well, our son Caleb, he actually have always had a friend that he calls Darren that he talks to and sees, and it's interesting because he'll tell us he's on the swing and we'll look out and the swing is swinging. So I think he kind of has mm-hmm. what I had growing up. I think he does see stuff and hear stuff. So I hope that he can hold on to that and not be scared of it.
Yeah, for sure. I think that's the big thing too with kids and seeing ghosts is, you know, the fear level. When I was living in a haunted house when I was younger, the ghost wasn't nice at all. So I was mm-hmm. very scared of that situation. But, you know, not every single ghost out there is bad. And it's yeah. really just being able to tell the difference and being able to just, you know, accept that there is more to life and it's not all yeah. bad.
And sometimes when they know that we can see them and hear them, if you're just ignoring them, that may provoke more activity because they know that you can hear mm-hmm. them. And so just being aware of it and knowing how to handle that. So I hope that he can grow with it. And
yeah, for sure. And I know Fox Valley Ghost Center secured First Ward School in Wisconsin Rapids this year. Can you tell us uh-huh. about the rich history and how did you secure such an, you know, historic location?
First Ward School, it's kind of like a second home to our team. Justin Living's the owner. He's an amazing guy. When he got the school, it was kind of used like as a storage place. So when the school closed down, the person who did own it was just kind of throwing junk in there. So when Justin purchased it, he had a lot of cleaning to do, but he has mm-hmm. been trying to bring it back to its original state. So it's got like all the desks in the school room and, the classrooms are set up, and it's just an amazing, he has some really cool stuff in that building. We've had great experiences there. I've been there several times. We always stay the night when we go there. So a lot of times stuff that happens is even when we're sleeping, but it's kind of a regular place that we do go.
Well, that's amazing you have access to that location and, you know, are able to investigate it so extensively. When yeah. going on investigations like that, how do you prepare, you know, what do you do beforehand? Do you do anything as means of protection? And just, like, how do you set up?
First and foremost, making sure we have all of our equipment and everything is charged. The place does have beds and stuff, so you know, we know we're staying mm-hmm. the night there, but usually we'll hang out as a team and just sometimes being there is just being yourself. We get the most activity when we're just sitting around, you know, talking, and it's not always, you know, the typical sit down, investigate, ask questions. Most of our stuff is when we're just being natural, some of our best evidence.
Yeah, I think that's a big thing too in the paranormal is just, you know, treating the ghost like it's just a normal thing instead of, you know, an inquisition is, mm-hmm. you know, so big for them because they are just people who've passed on. And I think yeah. that yeah. the ghosts respect that more when you treat them that way than if you treat them like they're something else.
Yeah, we were actually just there.
Last weekend
we were at First Ward, and there are some kids' spirits there that we know of that are always there. And we promised that we would read them a book. Well, like, we were, like, ready for bed, and I'm like, oh, mm-hmm. no, we forgot to read a book. So, you know, we had to follow through, so we sat and we read a book. And we try to, you know, if we can make a promise we have to make sure we follow through too. So we try to always play games there and, you know, try to interact with them. And like you said, they were people and they need to be treated with respect and know that we respect them.
Yeah. I mean that, yeah, I wouldn't want to be treated differently if I was a ghost. So I think that that's just like the biggest thing. I do know we have to take a quick commercial break though, but we'll be right back with more questions.
All right. Sounds good.
It's the Ghost Host Show with Sophia Temporelli on liveparanormal.com. And let me see here. I'm trying to mute Sophia's mic too as well as we head into this break. And everything's got a slow little lag to it. But, yeah, it's the Ghost Host Show with Sophia Temporelli on liveparanormal.com. Feel free to call in to the show as well too. New number, 347-202-0316. That's 347-202-0316. And I'm going to post the number and information for our team, too, as well, into the liveparanormal.com chat room. So feel free to jump in, get yourself an avatar, and you're part of the LP family in the chat room as we welcome Fox Valley Ghost Hunters researchers Travis and Michelle Clevenger. Everyone visit fvghosthunters.com. That's fvghosthunters.com. And YouTube search Fox Valley Ghost Hunters for their evidential captures. The Ghost Host Show with Sophia Temporelli. We'll be right back.
Hi, this is Dustin Perry, the paranormal rock star, and you're listening to The Ghost Host with the most, Sophia Temporelli, only on liveparanormal.com.
Hey, this is Rick Hayes, the psychic medium, life consultant, author, and lecturer, and you're listening to the Ghost Host, Sophia Temporelli, on liveparanormal.com. Believe.
Thank you for joining us on History FM Radio on liveparanormal.com and history.fm. From paranormal to the unexplained history, it all happens here. Looking to enhance your radio experience? Participate in live interactive chat 24/7 with our radio show hosts and other like-minded people on www.liveparanormal.com, the only interactive social chat room supported by full interactive media. Stop by now and join in on the fun.
Zach Bagans from Ghost Adventures, and you are listening to the Ghost Host, Sophia Temporelli, on liveparanormal.com.
Not only am I Dave Schrader, but I'm Dave Schrader of Travel Channel's The Holzer Files, and you're listening to Ghost Host, Sophia Temporelli, on liveparanormal.com. I feel left out. I wanted to throw myself into your mix of voiceovers now.
I love it, you know? It's almost like we didn't leave break.
This is Christopher Sanders with my ghost story on Biography. You are listening to The Ghost Host with Sophia Temporelli, weekly 12 p.m. to 2 p.m. on liveparanormal.com.
Hi, this is Professor Lloyd Auerbach, parapsychologist, and you're listening to The Ghost Host with Sophia Temporelli on liveparanormal.com.
This is author Alexandra Holzer, and you're listening to Ghost Host Sophia Temporelli.
It's the Ghost Host Show with Sophia Temporelli on liveparanormal.com. Again, the call-in, 347-202-0316. That's 347-202-0316. We're at the late edition of the show. Feel free to jump into the liveparanormal.com chat room. I'm posting all the links to our guests there as well, as we have Fox Valley Ghost Hunters researchers Travis and Michelle Clevenger. everyone visit fvghosthunters.com. That's fvghosthunters.com. YouTube search Fox Valley Ghost Hunters. And so on YouTube, bringing everyone back into the studio right now, Travis and Melissa, what can our audience expect to find at the YouTube channel?
More recently on our YouTube channel, we have our times from First Ward School. We have some things from our Sheboygan County Insane Asylum. We have investigations at Summer Wind. We also have our team trips that we take, just a lot of the different locations that we go, and there's a lot more planned out for this following year, too.
We just saw Summer Wind on the episode of The Haunting on Discovery Channel. How did you get access to that location?
So Craig, the founder of our team, he actually knows the owners, so we have exclusive access to that location. We go there three, four times a year.
Wow. What type of things have you picked up? I know a lot of negative energy was there from the father of the family.
Our last time that we went this past summer, we actually had kind of motion detector lights out across from us on separate sides, and one would go off and we could kind of on cue say, okay, can you let the one farthest to the left of us go off? And it would go off. And now can you let the one closest to us go off? And it would go off. So everything was very on cue. That was kind of neat. We had that going for probably 15 minutes until we got kind of tired of it. But we've had some really good EVPs there, and it's the history of the place is pretty amazing too, and just knowing the history and the stories. So,
and Travis, Summer Wind,
oh, go ahead.
With that being said, Summer Wind, we're actually planning a weekend up there to go up and clean out the foundation, and it's overgrown with trees and stuff. So our plan is to go up there and clean everything out of the foundation, like tree-wise and overgrowth, and get it to where when we do go up there and do tours and, go up there and investigate for team trips, we can enjoy and experience the whole foundation instead of just the outside of it. So that's another big plan for Fox Valley in this summer.
Yeah, Sophia's getting back into the studio right now. She got disconnected. But in Sheboygan, what did you guys experience there?
We've had amazing stuff at the Insane Asylum. We've seen a lot of shadow figures, knock on cue, like if you say, can you knock in this room? On our ghost box sessions, we get a lot of names that come every single time. So at the Insane Asylum, we've actually put in over 200 hours of investigating there. So lots of audio to go over, but Travis had an experience that he could share too there.
Yeah, we were sitting on the third floor in one of the wings, and this other woman was across from me, and we like to get the guests involved, to ask questions and stuff. And this one guest, she said, why don't you come over here and sit by me? And right after she got done saying that, I was sitting on the other side of the hallway, and Melissa was sitting to my right, about maybe 14, 16 inches away. And in my right ear, I heard clear as day, a voice say, okay, in a whisper. And right away, like I said before, I like to, debunk or to find out if there was anything possibly that could have made that noise that sounded like, okay. So I asked all the guests, did anybody whisper? Did anybody say anything? Did anybody move? And then I asked Melissa, I was like, did you hear that? And she's like, hear what? And I said, I just heard okay in my right ear. So after the tour was all done, we came home. She went over that audio clip from that time that we were in the hallway, and sure enough, it was caught on a recorder that there was a disembodied voice that said okay in my ear. So that was
pretty
intense. It was pretty intense. I was excited.
Wow. Yeah, I have Sophia. I got her back in and connected again, too. So, Sophia, you're back in.
Well, that's amazing that you had that experience. And I know you were talking about Summer Wind earlier and cleaning up the foundation, but what exactly is left of the home? I know on a haunting it said it burned down, but what as a part of its structure is left?
Basically, there's two fireplaces. One on, you know, there's a porch, like a brick porch, and then there's two chimneys that would have been on the north and south end of the building, I do believe, if I have my directions correct. So that's basically, and then, you know, you have pipes, and then I think there's an old furnace in there, and then a cast iron stove and stuff, and then the slate from the pool table that was in there, I think, is still in there also. But anything that didn't, or wasn't combustible is still there, so.
Well, go ahead.
I mentioned the porch that was overlooking the lake. That's still there also.
Mm-hmm.
It's arches and stuff, so.
It's incredible that you were able to get access there. I know that that is one of the more popular haunting episodes and definitely very memorable. I was actually just talking about Summer Wind the other day with my mom. Yeah, that's amazing. Definitely such a crazy backstory to it. Yeah, so that's just really cool that you were able to go there. And, you
well,
know,
if
with investigation.
If you want to come up here.
Oh, I would love to. Thank you.
We do investigations coming up this summer.
Yep.
Well, thank you for
that.
I would love to sometime. And, you know, with locations like that that, you know, may have some instability due to a fire or, you know, just being abandoned for so long, what are some of, you know, the hidden dangers that people just starting in the field don't realize with the paranormal?
So this isn't a Summer Wind story, but I actually was in Alton, Illinois this past year, and we were investigating Mineral Springs, which is a very well-known place too. And our base area where we had our equipment, we sat in there and then investigated like 4 hours. And I came back into the room and I plopped down on a bench that has a cushion, and there was a huge rusty needle sticking straight up and down, and it went all the way in. So of course I had to get tetanus and I had to be tested for stuff, and it hit a nerve. And so,
oh my God.
You have to watch for stuff like that. that did not feel good. A lot of places we go, you know, you have to just be careful in case some of them are older places. So you have unstable floors you have to check for, or just, you know, different objects. The thing I always watch for is my biggest fear ever is bats. They've never hurt me, but I'm terrified of them. We don't really, you know, feel too many places being negative. So I've never been to a place that's, you know, there's not demons everywhere. It's not really like that. But it is a good idea, you know, to protect yourself, though, beforehand, and bless yourself, I would say.
Yeah, for sure. Wow, that story is really scary to me. I'm very accident prone, so that doesn't seem too far off of something that would happen to me. One time on an investigation, my mom fell out of a tree. Everyone was sitting on a low-hanging tree branch, and she went to go sit on it. She just fell. So that's pretty much our luck with things.
Yeah, I do have a new saying from the needle that I sat on, and I don't know if I can say it on air, but I'll change the word. After that, I said ghost hunting's a pain in my butt. I'm getting the needle in my
have
butt.
Have a waiver for Sophia if she ever comes up.
Yeah.
Oh, my God. Yeah, that's one of the scarier stories I've heard, and I've had someone on here who talked about stepping on a mountain lion on an investigation of the tail, but the needle's scarier to me than the mountain lion.
Yeah, that was Keith Age. He thought it was a cable that was vibrating, and later he saw in the thermal there was a cat, a giant mountain lion, rearing up and about to bite him, and he never saw it.
Oh, that's terrifying.
That's the growling.
Okay, yeah, that definitely rendered me speechless. But yeah, for anyone starting in the field, what advice would you give them to about how to actually go about, you know, looking for locations and just starting out with equipment and stuff?
Well, my first piece of advice would be have an open mind. Mind, and then basically the only equipment you would really need would be, I would say, keep it basic, a flashlight, an SB7, and a voice recorder to start. I mean, and you're going to find out that that's basically all you really need. I mean, you don't need all these fancy, you know, REM pods and stuff like that to get experiences. And and once you start getting the experiences, then you're going to want to get into the more higher-end stuff to get more information, because it's like once you get that first EVP, you want to get more and more and more and more and more. Because if you're really into it, you need that more. So that's my best advice for anybody.
I would say with me, I mean, yes, the voice recorder, you know, the flashlight, just being in the moment and, you know, just treating them like humans and just being, we don't like provoking or anything like that. So I'm not into that. kind of off the subject, but this last summer, Travis and I, my brother was actually killed in 1997. And this is a little off subject, but I've never been able to communicate with him. And so we went to my dad's house, and we actually used the ghost box. I'll make this story short, but we asked a bunch of questions and nothing came across the ghost box at all. So we cut it pretty short, like 10 minutes, and we left. And on our way back from Kansas to Wisconsin, I was going over the audio, and on the ghost box, it actually, when we asked questions, it was my brother answering, and he did say, "Sorry,
oh, wow.
I was killed. Eric messed up." So all these years, you know, that I've blamed the person who did it, and I think he was just telling us, you know, he messed up. Don't stop blaming him, and just to know he's okay. But with that, I mean, all we had was the SB7 and a voice recorder, so you can get good stuff with just that.
Wow.
That's incredible that you were able to make contact like that. I know that a lot of people, you know, just want to know that their family member's all right on the other side. So the fact that you were able to get that validation is really amazing.
And closure.
Yeah. Yep. I was going to say, just knowing is okay, but he's also telling us, you know, stop blaming the other person. So that was my most meaningful experience.
Wow.
And, you know, I know a lot of people who live in haunted houses, a lot of times that it can be a family member coming through. What advice would you give to someone who lives in a haunted house, and just how would you tell them to go about a situation with a young child who's seeing them?
I've had a private investigation where I went to a home and they have a small child, and I basically got, you know, and I did an interview over the phone, and then I do an interview when I get to the residence. And I try to get as much background as far as, you know, family members that have passed, who you think it might be, what kind of activity is going on in the house, whether it be positive or negative. And then I'll go through and I'll do my investigation with one or two other team members, and then compile all the audio evidence that I get, whether it be names through the SB7 ghost box or EVPs through just doing an EVP session. And I'll kind of cross-reference that between, you know, the names that I get off the ghost box to what they've given me in the interviews and stuff. So my last investigation, they had a family member that passed named George, and George came through the SB7 constantly. So I notified the homeowners that my opinion is that it's your grandfather coming through. Now, I'm not thinking that he wants to scare your son. I think your son did. So, sorry, garage door is opening. Sorry. He doesn't necessarily want to scare your son, but your son doesn't really know how to cope with it or to deal with it. So basically what I say to the people is, there's two ways of going about it. You can educate your children on how to, you know, how to deal with it, or you can go about, you know, saying, okay, it's okay to pass on to the other side. We're fine. So I kind of leave it up to the people that, you know, I'm doing the investigation for.
Definitely. You know, I think it's very helpful just being able to know what is in the house, because the unknowns, I think, can sometimes be the scariest part. And
yes.
For Fox Valley Ghost Hunters, what's the coverage area for residential cases, and how can people contact you if they need help?
Basically, they can reach us on our Facebook page, Fox Valley Ghost Hunters, on Facebook. We also have another couple website or Facebook pages, Wisconsin's Most Haunted, and through our FoxValleyGhostHunters.com page. Our coverage area is the state of Wisconsin, basically. We have investigators that live in the far north woods of Wisconsin, and then we can, you know, travel to the southern borders of Illinois and Wisconsin, as well as, you know, western
mm-hmm.
Wisconsin also. If there's something in other states that somebody reaches out to us for, we can contact another paranormal investigation group out of Minnesota or Iowa or Illinois to take over for us.
Well, that's great that you guys are assisting in that way. So, you know, thank you for all the help you are giving to people. I know that so many people out there need it, and it's just good for a lot of people just to have someone who will listen and, you know, believe them. Even if something can be debunked, they have someone that's
yep.
not telling them they're wrong or crazy.
Right. Absolutely. I mean, and that's what I'm, you know, that's my main goal, is to help people figure out what's going on. And, you know, that's kind of the focal group of Fox Valley Ghost Hunters.
And when starting in the paranormal, or, you know, just even now, who are some people that you have looked up to within the field?
My biggest one, and I actually had a chance to, you know, sit and talk with him quite extensively and exclusively, was Grant Wilson.
Mm-hmm.
He's a stand-up guy. His views on everything are down-to-earth. He's a very down-to-earth guy. He's pretty much my role model as far as, you know, investigation-wise.
Yeah.
What about you, Melissa?
I don't want to sound like a broken record, but I look up to Grant Wilson, too. I really like
mm-hmm.
that he really is out to help people, and kind of the outlook that he has on it, I do look up to.
Yeah, Grant's a great guy. I've had the opportunity to interview him, and he's super nice, very helpful, and you can tell he just really wants to inform people and help.
Mm-hmm. And that's why we do a lot of our public tours too, is to give the public an experience, and, you know, to make them understand what we do, and for a lot of people,
mm-hmm.
you know, just to know that there is life after, that you can still communicate, and that's important to me too.
For sure. And, you know, there's so many places to investigate in the world, but for each of you, or collectively as a couple, where would you most like to investigate and why?
I have actually a kind of a bucket list. So I've been kind of going through my bucket list, and a lot of the places
mm-hmm.
is just, you know, the history is just so amazing, and just to experience it. But I would like to get to, like, the Queen Mary, and I've got a lot more places on that list. But
well, if you ever come to the Queen Mary, let us know. We're
yeah.
super close by.
Yeah, that's our neck of the woods. And Travis?
I mean, I really don't have any specific place.
Mm-hmm.
I have a lot of friends that are in the paranormal that live over in the UK, and they post a lot of fun, exciting places that I wouldn't mind going seeing. So anything that has a rich history and, you know, something that's like that level, I mean, level of activity, I mean, experience is key, basically. I would just, anywhere that's pretty cool would be fine with me. So
when she started this show, Sophia wanted to investigate Doll Island real bad, but that all changed. Right, Sophia?
I I saw the Ghost Adventures and all the spiders, and I have the feeling the spiders
that
you seem to have with bats. I can't stand spiders. I want nothing to do with them. Yeah, no.
I would be scared of that too, and I don't like the spiders either, but for me the bats top it off.
the spiders do me in. If they're bigger than the size of a quarter, I mean, I won't kill one the size of a quarter, but if they're bigger than that, I won't even be in the room to look at it. I'll leave.
But she calls me in the room.
Yeah, that actually happened the other day, so this is true experiences. But with so many, you know, locations with tragic backstories, is there a location that each of you think is the most haunted location in the world?
Travis, I'll let you answer first.
I would have to say Gettysburg.
Mm-hmm.
I would have to say Gettysburg with all the like I said, the rich history, the loss of life, it was almost like they knew what they were doing, and then they didn't know what happened. They were here one minute and gone the next. So
there's
a lot of spirits out there that didn't have that closure, you know, just wandering around. So, I mean, I would think that
even
would
in the
be
future.
One of the...
Yeah, even
What's
places
that?
With tsunamis or the radioactivity in Japan, and, you know, there's places that could still happen to be the place.
Right. I mean, even Ground Zero, I mean, that would be, I don't know. That would be another, you know, another place. Melissa, your turn.
Do you agree, Melissa?
I would have to agree. I can't really add more places on those. We haven't investigated any of those places. I think places like that, in a way, would be hard, too, because I think there would be a lot of emotion, and I like to feel stuff when I go places.
I definitely agree. I'm not psychic, but I'm definitely more sensitive to paranormal stuff. And I know they had a Titanic exhibit on the Queen Mary, and that was one thing I definitely didn't want to see, because there's certain things that I just know that I don't want to experience the way that someone might have in that moment.
I mean, if we can help them and make them understand, you know, what happened, or help them cross over, that's wonderful. It just, I know it would take a little bit out on me, so.
Right.
Yeah, definitely. And is there any location that you've investigated with your team that you feel needs a follow-up to the previous investigation you've done?
We do have some of our home investigations that Travis, he has a pretty big lineup of them. It seems like there's been a lot of activity everywhere lately. There's a couple on those that he will be following up on, and just to help them out. And I mean, some places it might be going in and doing a cleaning or a cleansing, and we do whatever we can to help people.
Right.
Well, I know we're coming towards the end of the show, but are there any websites, upcoming interviews, or events that you would like to mention?
If you look at our Fox Valley Ghost Hunters Facebook page, starting in probably May or June, we'll be offering paranormal investigation tours back at the asylum again. Other than that, we'll be heading to Villisca Axlinger House in, I think, July.
July,
right?
Yep.
Whoa.
And then,
we'll be doing two nights there. I think we'll have one or two public investigations at Summer Wind coming up. We've got a few other locations that we have people at. In 2 weeks, we have an investigation at First Ward again. So we like to go there a lot. We'll be pretty busy, and people can follow us and sign up to go on investigations with us and contact us if they need us privates. And then I think our book should be coming out in May, our new book.
Yeah, we'd love to have you promote.
Well, we'd love to have you promote it.
Yeah, that'd be wonderful.
Well, I want to thank you both so much for coming on today. It's been great talking to you. And, congratulations on your upcoming book release. I would love to have you promote it.
Yeah.
Oh, that'd be wonderful.
Yeah, thank you guys.
Thank you so much for having us on. Appreciate it. All right.
All right. We look forward to having you both on to promote in May. That sounds fantastic. It's the Ghost Host Show with Sophia Temporelli on liveparanormal.com. Great show today, Sophia.
Definitely. They were both such great guests. I want to thank you all for listening. The show definitely would not be possible without all of you, and I will talk to you guys again next week. Bye.
Yeah, the Ghost Host Show with Sophia Temporelli on liveparanormal.com, and today we welcomed Fox Valley Ghost Hunters researchers Travis and Michelle Clevenger. Everyone visit fvghosthunters.com. That's fvghosthunters.com, and as they mentioned, the locations. Go to the YouTube search Fox Valley Ghost Hunters too as well. Coming up, we have the Heritage Hunters Society founder Michael LaChiana. He's returning to the program next Saturday, the 18th. Award-winning Let's Talk Paranormal show host Tracy Austin will be on the program on the 25th. Squatch Files research team founder and author John Kuykendall returns to the program on February 15th. And other guests are securing their dates too as well. It's the Ghost Host Show with Sophia Temporelli on liveparanormal.com. Again, fantastic show, everyone, and we'll see you next week.
Hi, this is Debbie at Xeon Ghost Adventures. You're listening to The Ghost Host with your host, Sophia Temporelli, on liveparanormal.com.
God bless you all.
Thank you for joining us on History FM Radio on liveparanormal.com and history.fm. From paranormal to the unexplained history, it all happens here. Looking to enhance your radio experience? Participate in live interactive chat 24/7 with our radio show hosts and other like-minded people on www.liveparanormal.com. The only interactive social chat room supported by full interactive media. Stop by now and join in on the fun.